Welcome to the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the February 4th, 2024 service at Plymouth, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
People of God, welcome. Surely God is in this place. We come to worship and to rest in God's presence. Breathe deep, for the goodness of God surrounds us. The Holy One who sustains the universe is near. When we are tired, worn down, and carrying heavy burdens, God is with us. God strengthens us that we might help carry one another's burdens. So let us join together in wonder and thanksgiving for God's love that lifts us up on wings like eagles. Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Next is the hymn, Alleluia. The Old Testament scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31, will be read by Sharon Frazier.
Did you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Next are the first two verses of the hymn, How Can I Keep From Singing?
Hymn number 34 in the Lift Up, verses 1 and 2.
I turn to the New Testament reading, the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought all to him, Jesus, all who were sick or possessed by demons. And the whole city was gathered round the door. And he cured many who were sick of various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is searching for you. He answered, let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came here to do. And he went out throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Before I begin my sermon, I was forewarned that Zelda, no, let me just say the back row might be giving me faces during my sermon. And what they were really doing was not reacting to anything I said, but rather they were entertaining Harold in front of them. So I just want to put that out there, that if I get a shocked look on my face, you'll know what I'm reacting to. And then understanding, oh yes, this is about Harold and not about me. And a revival breaks out among us with amens around. Oh, yes, yes. Good, good, good. And I turn red among you. Yes, here we go. Here we go. Where are we? Wait, let's see. I think I forgot something. Every week, there has been a certain amount of subtle detail that's been different from my notes and from what's in the bulletin. And I just want to make sure that I don't have to back up later and start over. So let me pause for a moment and looking. Yes, we're good. I think I invite this talk back time, don't I? I will be focusing on the passage from Isaiah. And in my focus, let me start with the story of a former police officer. As he was instructing new cadets who are new to the police force, the importance of the vests that they wear and how bulletproof they are. And so as he went through describing what they're made of and how they are woven and all of that and how well they will protect when you wear them, they put one on a mannequin. And then several of the police officers who were prepared to drew their weapons and began firing at the mannequin. And then the young cadets were invited, come look. And sure enough, the Kevlar vests, they all repelled bullets. None of the mannequins had been pierced by a shot. And then the officer turned and said, okay, now which of you cadets would like to wear one as we practice shooting at you and it protect you? And interesting, none of the cadets offered to stand up and do that. It is one thing to give an example and say, see, this will protect you. And it's far another where we will stand in the line of fire and say, sure, let me try it while I wear it. Our passage from Isaiah invites us to get out of the observation mode and step into the line of fire when it comes to both relying on the Lord and testing what God's promises to us are. We might say, well, I have faith, but not that much faith in a Kevlar vest. But our passage invites us to have that much faith in God that when we jump from a cliff, that our God will catch us. And not just catch us, but lift us up on wings like eagles. The days we're living are threatened by many things. Just over this weekend, we have a new war situation where our military is once again engaged in bombs and bullets. That's nothing new for the world itself, but it's frightening when I hear it on the news that one more place is now broken out, once again, in destroying lives. The lives we live, we may be losing jobs. Our own financial security may be shaky and being rocked at this time. We might be losing friendships. I had a friend of mine recently talk about the importance of, he had a relationship with another friend, a longtime friend, but he noticed how toxic, that every time he came away with a conversation from that friend, though they had been friends for a long time, how down he felt and how much he felt like he had to undo some of the conversation they had. It was so negative. He was thinking of ending that friendship to say, I need to choose a more positive way of interacting with those I care about. We might be losing friendships. We might be losing loved ones. We might lose our sense of well-being because of health problems. And my, how quickly they come on. Whether we fall, slip and fall because of ice, or whether there's something internal that it's suddenly discovered, and now our doctor tells us, you've got to change course You got to get things in order because your days are numbered. At times like these, it's easy to panic. And in our panic, feel lost. And where do we go? Take our eyes off of God's faithfulness and begin to look for any type of help or power from around us. Anything that will give us a sense of security. From the beginning of time, Old Testament and New, it's our God who keeps saying to us, trust me. Put your faith in my promises. Rely on me. Isaiah is saying this to God's people. And begins the passage with, why do you say, Jacob, and speak, Israel, that my way is hidden from Yahweh, and the justice due me is disregarded by my God? Why do you say that? Well, let me set the scene for this cry being quoted coming out of these people. Judah was a very small kingdom, surrounded by a very larger and a much more powerful force from the north, Babylon. And one of them was with that, as being the northernmost kingdom of Israel and Judah, it was they who would be threatened first when Babylon said, we want to expand our border south. People of Judah felt vulnerable, weak, threatened. And so what was their response? There's that look again. Would you stop pinching the baby? Stop pinching Harold. All right, I'm back. They turned to any help they could get. And so they went to neighboring countries and said, will you help us? Our military might, our defenses are not big enough to withstand any onslaught from this big northern power, Babylon. And so they made alliances. And it gave them some help. But Isaiah is saying to them, don't depend on your neighbors. Don't go horizontally and make alliances with other folks. Rather, turn vertically and go to God. Why would they do this? Why on earth would they turn their backs on God at this time and seek out other sources of power? Well, it's much like our human response. We look for help and we try and find it as quickly and as closely as we can. They were afraid. They needed help wherever they could get it. They were fully aware of how ruthless and destructive the forces from the north, the Babylonians, were. They couldn't ignore the danger that they were in. Is it any different for us? There are times when our own happiness and peace are threatened. Yes, Harold, I'm saying this for you too. It may be the worry of our world exploding with bombs and bullets. It may be the feeling of being unsettled because no one shares your own vision of what this church needs to do next in its life. It could be that you may feel all alone, and the problems that you carry are only yours alone to carry. Perhaps there's no joy in the day you live or the work you do. Maybe you feel downhearted about the path that your children are choosing to go or the paths that your grandchildren are choosing. You may be upset about what you've said and done, that you wanted to do the right thing, say the right words, but wrong things were done. Wrong words came out. You may be despondent about the same old temptations that tempt you today, and you once again turn back to old habits. It's so easy sometimes to stay where we've been because it's familiar, rather than choose a new route. But it's easy to give up and say, it's too hard to change. But remember Elijah, the prophet Elijah, when he stood against all those prophets of Baal and turned out as he did the test of faith, saying, a call to your God to bring down fire from heaven and light this altar on fire. And then after a time of them being able to do nothing as they chanted to their God, nothing happened. And then Elijah said, "Douse my altar with water. Add more, add more." And when he called down fire, it came down. That day was a victorious day, but not long after that, when Jezebel was pursuing him, he hid in a cave. And his prayer was, "It would be better for me to die." Elijah felt alone. What about Moses? As he led the people out of Egypt, their first days of freedom, let alone their first years of freedom from Egypt, they complained about the food that they got. They complained about all the journeying they had to do. They complained that their God had turned his back and left them to die in the desert. Imagine Moses, day in and day out, hearing that complaint. Imagine if our dog were to complain about the day after day meal that we give that dog, but instead they look at us and say, "Oh, this is the best." For Moses, his days were not the best with that kind of response. Rather, all he got were complaints. Think about the disciples of Jesus when they were out in that boat in the storm. Now, boats are a familiar place for fishermen. And they're out in the boat. Jesus is sleeping. They wake him and say, "Don't you care? We're about to be destroyed. The boat is about to sink and we'll go under and drown. Don't you care that we're dying?" And you know what? That same question was asked by God's people in the Old Testament. "Lord, our enemies are surrounding us. Don't you care that we are about to be crushed by the Babylonians?" And the answer that Isaiah gives to them is, turn to God. Turn now back to God. I love the way he starts it. "Haven't you heard? Don't you know?" Because they've heard it before. And so he's pointing them back to things that are quite familiar to them. You see, the problem with the people of Judah was that they had thought God had maybe abandoned them. Or maybe God was too weak. Or maybe God was too far bothered to be bothered with their problems. And so Isaiah turns them and says, "Here's an important thing to check on. What's wrong with you folks? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hasn't anyone told you that God can do anything? Take a look at the foundations of the world, the stars in the sky. We have a God who never gets tired of caring for us and loving us. Even when we think that God isn't close enough to us, even when it's hard to find that we can feel that closeness, God's promise is as certain as ever." Years ago, there was an epic movie made called Ben-Hur. Now, some of us grew up on that film, and some of us need to review that film, but especially for the point I'm going to make. In that film, Charlton Heston plays the role of Ben-Hur, and he is to be riding a chariot and defeat his enemies in this race with his chariot, and as a result, they win. The actor, Charlton Heston, did so much that he learned to drive a chariot and know how to maneuver it through the field. But as weeks went on and as they practiced this, and by the way, there were 5 weeks of filming this one scene. 15,000 extras were used in this one scene and 18 chariots. And maybe the warning, don't break this one. Charlton Heston learned how to maneuver and drive a chariot. But he confessed to his stunt coordinator, he says, "You know, I can drive a chariot, but I don't know if I can win this race in the film." And the stuntman smiled and said, "You just stay in the chariot. I'll make sure you win." You see, because it was in the script, he had to win. You know, and maybe if we looked real close, we'd see the other riders just pull back just a little bit. Slow down, boys. Just pull back and whoa, Charlton Heston's in the lead again. It was in the script. He forgot. He thought it was going to be in his own strength and own skill that he would be able to lead this chariot to be the winning chariot in this film. That's what God is trying to get through to us. That it's in the script. People of faith, it's going to be okay. The moment may not be. But moments can change. And God, the change maker, can make that happen. Yes, Harold, God can do this too. I know you're listening. I know you're out there. There are many who have comments about sharing the stage or the moment before a microphone with a child or an animal because you know who wins the moment. You do. Indeed. We really do have a God who never gets tired of caring for us and loving us. Even when we think that God isn't close to us, in fact, even when we find it hard to find that closeness, God's promise is as certain now as it ever was. This phrase is what we need to hold on to from this passage from Isaiah. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That is a promise for us. If it has felt like a time of lone and a time of feeling like there are too many enemies against you and I, we need these words. And we need to stop and pause and remember we are loved. We are not alone. And God's story and end for us is not that we'll just get through the moment, but that we will be lifted up and that we will fly on wings like eagles. We practiced with verses 1 and 2. Now let's try and complete in singing our song, How Can We Keep From Singing, verses 3 and 4.
Give us this day our daily bread, and debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
Next is the hymn, I'm going to live so God can use me.
Wherever you may go. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.